I welcome each and everyone once again for the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Har Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 8. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam once again. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your very valuable time and association. I would like to hand over the call to you. Please take over the call, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for your warm welcoming and thanks to all the devotees for joining. So we'll start with our prayers. Om Agnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayati Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. Namavam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas on the call. Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. So we are continuing our study of the most esoteric topic, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And we are in chapter 8, interesting chapter, the avatars. So the context is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking to Srila Sanatan Goswami and he's enlightening him on various topics. And we saw that sometime back, he just started talking about how Lord Sri Krishna, who's the Swayam Rupa, he expands into various forms. So these are a couple of charts for us to refer to in case we don't remember the flow. So there is one chart that is available online in many places, which is mostly based on the Laghu Bhagavatamrita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the other one is also available on the guidebook Subodhini. You can follow one of these charts to understand how exactly the original form of Krishna expands into multitude forms. So in this chapter, chapter 8, the avatars, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to tell us about the incarnations of the Lord when he comes to this material world. So Lord Krishna's avatars or incarnations are pretty much his expansions that come to the material creation from the spiritual world. So the literal translation of avatar means one who descends from the spiritual sky. And the reference verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, Srishti Hetu E Murti Prapanche Avatare Se Ishwar Murti Avatar Namadhare. So what is the meaning of an avatar? Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual sky. So the very definition has an important information. And what is that information? One should not think that the avatars or the different forms of the Lord that come to the material world are only limited to the material world. It's not like that. Each of these forms of the Lords are coming from the spiritual sky. That means they have their eternal residence. They have a form up there in the spiritual world. So that should be clarified first. We should all understand that the different forms of the Lord are not limited You should not think that, okay, Lord Ramchandra made his appearance, so it is only something to do with this world. No, he comes from the spiritual world. So all the forms of the Lord are present in the spiritual world, and from time to time, they descend into the material world. And this is called as an avatar. This is the definition of an avatar as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, and it is recorded both in Chaitanya Charitamrita as well as the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the book that we are reading now. Okay, so a quick review, what we have seen is that we can use either of these charts. They pretty much mean the same. There could be a little variation in terms of how the initial divisions are coming out, but otherwise it's actually the same. Okay, so Krishna has Swayam Rupa. From Swayam Rupa, he expands into Swayam Prakash, and then you have this is Prabhava Prakash and Vaibhava Prakash. We have seen all of this in the past 3 days, 3-4 days. So you must all have by hearted it by now. And then the different expansions from there, the Vilas and the Swamsha, and then there you have in the Vilas, Prabhava and Vibhava forms. And then we saw about how the Lord expands in Vaikuntha, the Adi Chaturvyuha, and then Prabhava Vilas has Adi Chaturvyuha, and in the Vaibhava Vilas, we have the Dvitiya Chaturvyuha and the different expansions from the four-armed form of the Lord in Vaikuntha, 24 different forms. So Prabhu pretty much explained the whole thing yesterday. I'm not going to repeat any of it because I think he really took a lot of time to expand on this whole concept of what happens in Vaikuntha, how the expansions are present in Goloka and other places. But what we are going to do today is we are going to see the Swam Sharupa. That is all our subject matter for today is. This is probably a clearer chart. So you see Swamsha are the partial manifestations of the Lord that come to the material world. So this is our focus today. We have finished all of this. The left side of the chart is all done. Okay, so we have done all this Prabhava, Vaibhava, all of this. This was Goloka, or Krishna Loka rather, different places in Krishna Loka, and then the Vilasa forms in Vaikuntha. We have seen all of this, we are done with it. So now we are going to see the interesting part, which is incarnations. Why is it interesting? Because we are in the material world, right? So when we see incarnations and we can, in the material world, we can relate to them very easily. So now we are going to see the different incarnations of the Lord who come down. Okay, so how does creation begin? Creation begins with Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu is called as one of the Purusha incarnations. So the first set of Swamsha incarnations, the very first set, is called as Purusha Avatara. Okay, you see the slide here, Purusha Avatara. So that is the first set of incarnations in this world. And in the Purusha Avataras, we have Karano Dakshai Vishnu, Garbho Dakshai Vishnu, and Shiro Dakshai Vishnu. So we're going to see each one of these in detail. The first one, the Purusha incarnation called as Karano Dakshai Vishnu. He's the Karana for this Jagat. He's the cause of this entire universe, right? So he lies down in the Karana ocean. The Karana means the causal ocean. So it's also called as the causal ocean. So this is a picture of Karano Dakshai Vishnu. He's lying down on the causal ocean. And what does he do? He begins the creation of the material world. Where has he expanded from? He has expanded from the Mahasankarsana. So we also had a glimpse of this in our yesterday's class, by Gauram Darshan Prabhu. He told us from Mahasankarsana, the Dvitiya Chaturvyuha, or he's also called as the Mahasankarsana. From him, a Purusha appears. So from here, we are going to deal with what's happening in the material world from this point on. So here is Mahavishnu. And he begins creation. So how does he begin creation? He just lies down, he breathes in and he breathes out, that's all. So he breathes in and he breathes out. And when he's breathing out from the pores of his body, multitude universe, they just emanate out. Okay, so at the most, what can come from our body? Sweat from the pores of our body. But from the body of Mahavishnu, multitude universes are emanating. And it is described that this Mahavishnu, he manifests the 16 elementary energies that is required for the material world. So what are those? Those are directly quoted from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2642. He who is the original incarnation in the material world, Srimad Bhagavatam states, that he is the lord of time, nature, cause and effect, mind, ego, the five physical elements, the three modes of material nature, the senses, and the universal form. He is the independent master of all moving and non-moving living beings in the material world. So he is the cause for all the different elementary energies that is there in creation. And where does he lie? He lies on the Viraja river or the causal ocean. And Viraja, the very word means it's beyond the modes. It's beyond the modes of material nature. So this Viraja or the causal ocean is pretty much a border between the spiritual and the material worlds. So one has to cross the Viraja Nadi to actually go to the spiritual world. So you have to give up your the modes of material nature. All of these do not act here. So here you have the Supreme Lord who's lying down. He's breathing in, breathing out, and universes are emanating. So besides breathing in and breathing out, he has another function to do. He has to glance, because with his glance, creation begins. So what happens? Here is another beautiful picture from the Goloka chart. That describes how creation exactly happens in this area. So you see here Viraja River, Karana Ocean, and here is our Mahavishnu, and you see these golden balls that are coming out. These are the different universes, and we are in one of this universe, okay? One of this universe in the middle planetary system, in a tiny little portion called Earth, there in a little small continent in North America. We are here in one of the states, in one of the cities, in one of the towns, and in one of the apartment homes or individual homes. So that is our position. So from his pores, so many universes are coming out. And what does he do? He glances, okay? He glances. And he glances and he agitates this Maya. So what is Maya? Maya is the direct cause for creation or the material energy. But there is also something called as Pradhana, which is the material elements, okay, that is needed for creation. Just like when you're cooking something, you need material, you need ingredients, right? You need ingredients to cook up something. So like that, the ingredients are actually called as Pradhana. So this is actually directly infused by the glance of the Lord. But when this glance of the Lord hits the Pradhana, okay, when it hits the Pradhan gets agitated. It gets agitated and it is infused with consciousness that is coming from the glance of Mahavishnu. So once the materials are infused with consciousness, when they are agitated like that, that concoction is called as Mahatattva. So what is Mahatattva? Mahatattva is nothing but the agitated material nature that is infused with consciousness. What consciousness? It is the living entities. Where are the living entities coming from? They are coming from the glands of Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu actually becomes Jagat Karana. He is the original cause. Maybe the immediate cause is, or the direct cause seems to be Maya, but the original cause is Mahavishnu. And of course, the Brahma Samhita, not directly explained in teachings of Lord Chaitanya book itself, but from the Brahma Samhita, we get more details as to how this glance works. This Karana, the Kshay Vishnu, is consorting with his consort Rama Devi, and his glance forms a dim halo called a Shambhu. And this Shambhu actually touches Maya. Okay, and that's how this entire universe begins. So Shambhu and Maya are our father and mother of this universe. But who is the original cause? The original cause is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu doesn't directly touch Maya. It is an indirect process. Through an indirect process, through the agency of Shambhu, Maya is actually touched and the creation begins. So here you have this Mahavishnu who can create not, you know, by very complicated processes. He just creates by his glance. Very, very simple for him. He starts off the creation with a glance. And this Mahavishnu is the super soul of the collective universes. So there are so many Brahmandas, millions and trillions, you know, just like you have so many pores on your body. Can you count the pores on your body? Not really. So like that, there are so many universes that are coming out from his body. And he is the super soul of all the collective universes. Okay. Now, in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the different predominating deities are mentioned. This is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto, when Kapila gives his instructions to Mother Devahuti. So he says that this Mahatattva is predominated by Vasudeva. This Mahatattva is made up of consciousness, right? So Mahatattva, made up of consciousness, is actually the first layer in creation also. This is described in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I've just put a picture here for us to connect the Bhagavatam and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So Mahatattva, predominating deity, is Vasudeva. He's Chit. He's the deity who presides over Chitta consciousness. Then this Mahatattva, there is a transformation that happens to it by the infusion of time and other elements. Okay, so there's a transformation, and that transformation, Mahatattva transforms into false ego. Now this false ego divides into three different modes: false ego in the mode of goodness, false ego in the mode of passion, and false ego in the mode of ignorance. So you see the first layer, Mahatattva. Second layer, false ego. So the same thing, the Mahatattva transforms into false ego. Ahankara, it is called Ahankara. So who is the presiding deity of Ahankara? It is Sankarsana. He is the presiding deity of Ahankara. And then the presiding deity of Ahankara and the mode of goodness is Aniruddha. And Ahankara and the mode of passion, from which intelligence is formed, is Pradyumna. So from goodness, mind is formed. From passion, intelligence is formed. Okay, this is how again Bhagavatam explains it. And then from ignorance, what comes? Ether and the Tanmatras. So the ether, and the sky and the other elements, like you have here. From ether, you have air, water, fire, ether, earth, and so on. From here, the rest of the elements in creation are formed. All of these sprout out of Ahankara and the mode of ignorance. It is not very specifically mentioned, the deity who is presiding over the ether and the tanmatras, but we can understand each of these individual layers, they have a particular deity. Like for example, earth is the presiding deity is the earth personified itself, who's worshipping Lord Varaha. For water, it is water personified who worships Lord Matsya, and so on. So all this information is also available in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is important because we should understand who the presiding deities are over the consciousness, over the false ego, and how the false ego is seen in three different modes: false ego in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. False ego in the mode of goodness is from the false ego in the mode of goodness, mind is obtained, and the presiding deity is Aniruddha. False ego in the mode of passion, you see intelligence, and the presiding deity is Pradyumna. And then you have that ether in the Tanmatras from ignorance. Now, goodness and passion, they're all very subtle. Okay, goodness, passion, false ego, all these are very, very subtle. And they are not only present as elemental coverings, which is very subtle, you can't see them. They're also present within the body. You can feel them. So you also know that our body is made up of nothing but the five gross elements: air, water, fire, ether, all of these gross elements is Panchabhutamaya, our body is. And we also have the subtle ones, which is mind, intelligence, and false ego. So this is spread throughout the universe. And then once these layers are formed, then there is something that is happening inside each of these Brahmandas. So that is what you're going to see. From that Karano, the Kshaya Vishnu, who was responsible for this entire creation, came Garbho the Kshaya Vishnu. So he expands and he comes down and he lies down in the Garbhodak ocean. Okay. This ocean actually is supposed to cover half of the universe. This universe, in the beginning of creation, it was pitch dark. Garbhodak Kshaya Vishnu came in and he sat down, or he was lying down in this water of Garbhodaka. So he lies down, and again he has his consort there, and the Lord Sesha is actually serving him as the bed. And he lies down, and from his navel sprouts a lotus. Again, the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is this, right? It talks about how Brahma was created and the prayers offered by Brahma, how Brahma had the vision of Vaikuntha. So all of this is explained in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, but this is something in synopsis. So from the navel of Garbhodak Kshaya Vishnu came out a lotus, and on top of the lotus is Lord Brahma, who resides in the topmost universe. And Brahma was responsible for the secondary creation. So therefore, he is also called as the engineer of the universe. But who is the original cause? It is Garbhodak Kshaya Vishnu within the universe. But who is the original cause of this universe? It is our Mahavishnu. Okay. So now, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he is also described as Hiranyagarbha in the Vedas. So the Vedas, they often they glorify this Garbhodakshay Vishnu as Hiranyagarbha. And this Garbhodakshay Vishnu becomes the individual super soul of every individual universe. So because he is present in every single universe, what is he? He is the super soul of each individual universe. So each of these universe that is coming out from the body of Mahavishnu, they have this Garbhodakshay Vishnu inside. Okay, and he takes over the he takes charge of each of these individual universes. And in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada explains that sometimes when needed, this Garbhodakshay Vishnu himself takes the form of Lord Shiva and he destroys the universe. Because he creates and he's taking care of this universe, so sometimes if destruction is needed, he himself can also take charge. Okay. So, and these are other details that are explained, like the 14 universes and who resides in which area, all this is being explained. Okay. This is not the scope of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, so we are moving on. Now, after Garbhodakshay Vishnu created these 14 worlds, what he did was he understood that all the living entities have now come out. They are all getting bodies by the mercy of Lord Brahma. Brahma is giving them the bodies and he's engineering the universe. He's giving them a place to stay. He's doing all of that. But then he realizes that he just cannot leave the living entities like that. Right? Krishna is very merciful. He travels with us wherever we go. And he's always waiting for us to get back to him. So he knows that we're going to suffer in this material world. So he decides to accompany us as the Paramatma. So this Garbhodakshay Vishnu, he expands into Shirodakshay Vishnu. Where does Shirodakshay Vishnu live? Here is the Shira ocean or the ocean of milk, which is also called as the Shir Sagar. You must have heard this, very, very common. So somewhere here between Swargaloka and Maharloka, that is the location in the ocean of milk. In the shores of the ocean of milk, there is a dvipa called as the Shweta Dvipa, where Shirodakshay Vishnu resides. Now, this Shirodakshay Vishnu, what he does is he becomes the super soul of every jiva, every living entity between inside you, inside me, inside the mosquito, inside the cockroach, inside the animals. We all have a Paramatma. And that Paramatma is the Shirodakshay Vishnu. And he doesn't stop with the jivas. He also enters into each and every atom of this universe. He is the one who sustains this entire creation. He's there in the smallest and he's there in the largest. So that is the glory of the Lord. So he is the Shirodakshay Vishnu. From time to time, when different incarnations appear, they appear through the channel of Shirodakshay Vishnu. Okay, so Shirodakshay Vishnu should be understood to be like a door through which the incarnations, the avatars actually descend into this universe. So that is the, because when you read Bhagavatam, you see that the demigods from time to time, where do they go to pray? They go to the Shira ocean and they go and they offer the Purusha Sukta prayers. This is a very beautiful picture of the demigods offering the Purusha Sukta prayers in the shores of the Shirodakshay Vishnu, in the shores of the milk ocean. So they don't directly go into his abode, but they are outside and they are offering prayers like that. And they are requesting what? Oh Lord, please incarnate. Please come and remove the burden of this earth. So from time to time, this is a location that they go to. It is accessible where they go outside and they offer prayers requesting the Lord to send some help. So this is our Shirodakshay Vishnu. And this Shirodakshay Vishnu, he's also the super soul of all the living entities. Because, of course, we saw that how he expands in as the super soul within the heart of every living entity. He resides in the ocean of milk within the universe. So like this, and he's in the mode of goodness. So this is the Vishnu that we talk about. That's what Prabhupada explains, that when we talk about the three guna avataras, which is next. So far, what have we seen? We have seen the Purusha avataras, three Purusha avataras. Who are they? Karanodakshay Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Shirodakshay Vishnu. Now, this Shirodakshay Vishnu, he also functions as generally whom we call Vishnu. We call three Gunavataras, right? Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma. They are the three Gunavataras who are in charge of maintenance of this world, meaning creation, maintenance, destruction. These three departments are taken care of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. You've heard this several times, the Trimurti. So this Shirodakshay Vishnu, he functions as the Vishnu who is in mode of goodness, who is in charge of sustenance, who is in charge of maintaining this universe. That's why from time to time, for the sake of maintenance, these demigods, they go and pray to this Shirodakshay Vishnu. Okay. So first he described the Purusha avataras, but before he gets into the Guna avataras, what he does is he talks about the Leela avataras. Now, this is the interesting part which everyone knows the Leela avataras, especially the Dasha avataras, very popular. It was popularized by Jayadev Goswami, through his Dasha avatar stotra, and it is also popularized down south by the Alvars. So, 10 are known, 10 are popular, but then the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Canto 1, Chapter 3, it talks at least about 24 to 25 incarnations, which are all Leela avataras. There is a huge list that flows. And then in 1328, he says, Ete Chamsa Kalapumshaha Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So who's the source? Who's the Swayam Bhagavan? It is Krishna. So from Krishna, we have several incarnations that come forth. And one should remember, it is not limited to 10. It is many. At least 24 are mentioned in that chapter. But there in that chapter itself, it is mentioned that these incarnations should not be limited to 24 also. They are like the waves of the ocean. They are unlimited. They are unlimited incarnation. And you all know the popular ones, Matsya, Kurma, Raghunatha, Narasimha, Vamana, Varaha, and so on. So these are the different incarnations who come to perform what? They perform Leela. Sometimes there could be an overlap between the Leela avatars and several other classification of avatars. Okay, there is no harm in that. Like for example, Parashuram sometimes is considered as a Leela avatar. But he's also a Shakti Avesha Avatara, which we will see later. So like that, there are some overlaps from time to time. Okay. So here we have the Leela Avataras who perform pastimes to attract the living entities. What is the reason for Krishna to come and perform pastimes? So that we can get attracted to him and we can go back to him. Okay. So that was the second set. First set was Purusha Avatara. Second set, Leela Avataras. Now the third set is called as Guna Avatars. This is what I was mentioning, Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. Brahma is in the mode of passion. I mean, he presides over the mode of passion and he's also counted as one of the Jivas. So Brahma is a very advanced Jiva because of his devotional service that he performed in his previous births. He became very advanced, and because of several other reasons, like he was very, very pious and so on, he took the post of Brahma when the new creation began by the Lord. Creation was cyclic, but when the new set of creation began, at that time, this particular Jiva takes the post of Brahma. He was the one who appeared from the stem of the lotus, right? So the same personality is presiding over the mode of passion, because passion is required for creation, right? So he takes over creation, creation meaning secondary creation or engineering, and he takes care of all the details within the universe. And this Brahma is empowered by Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who is his father, because he came from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And the powers of Garbhodakshay Vishnu is actually reflected on this Brahma for him to take care of creation. And the analogy given is Brahma is likened to a valuable jewel influenced by the rays of the sun. And the Supreme Lord Garbhodakshay Vishnu is likened to the sun. Just like how sun, when the sun rays falls on a valuable jewel, that jewel becomes reflective. Similarly, our Brahma becomes very powerful because of the rays or because of the grace of our Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And in some kalpas, when there is no Brahma, when there is no qualified person, that time Vishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu himself acts as Brahma. So this has happened sometimes. The Lord himself takes the role of Brahma when there is no qualified Jiva who can take the post of Brahma. So this was Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and then we started seeing the guna avatars, of which first we are seeing is Brahma. The second guna avatar is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, he is not a jiva, so he is an expansion of the Supreme Lord, and he is in charge of annihilation. But there is a problem. He is an association with Maya, so he is not the same as the Supreme Lord. The example of milk and yogurt from Brahma Samhita can help us understand that. Just like how when milk comes in contact with an acidic substance, it transforms into yogurt. Similarly, Vishnu, he doesn't come in touch with Maya. Okay, so he's like the milk. But Shiva is a transformation of Vishnu. Shiva is not the same as Vishnu. He's a transformation, but still he's not a jiva. But from the Shiva within this material universe, Bhagavatam explains that Shiva appeared from the middle of the forehead of Lord Brahma when he was upset with the four Kumaras, right? And he was called as Rudra, Rudra, because when he was crying and he was running, you know, as soon as he was born, and he gets the name Rudra, and then Brahma controls him. And from that Rudra comes 11 different expansions. These are the 11 Rudras within each universe. So within each universe, there is one Kshirodakshay Vishnu, there's one Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and there is a source Vishnu who's creating, right? So total three. Rudras are 11 within each universe, okay? One Shiva, he expands. He expands into a total of 11 when he comes into this universe. That Shambhu, remember the glance of Mahavishnu, dim halo of the glance of Mahavishnu, that Shambhu, he is the one who further expands as Lord Shiva and the 11 Rudras. Now, among the 11 Rudras, some Jivas can take the post of Rudra. Among the 11 Rudras, there is no strict rule that all of them are Shiva Tattva. Some Jivas can be empowered to be one of the 11 Rudras according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Just like how sometimes when there is no qualified person, the Supreme Lord himself decides to take the post of Brahma. And sometimes certain living entities get empowered from time to time to perform certain actions. Like that, among the 11 Rudras, sometimes certain Rudras can be empowered Jivas, but they function in the capacity of a Rudra. Okay, so we have 11 Rudras. And this is something interesting, which is mentioned in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which I've put down. Lord Shiva is a combination of three kinds of transformed consciousness known as Vaikarika, Taijasa, and Tamasa. These are the types of egotisms. That is, Vaikarika is in the mode of goodness, Taijasa is in the mode of passion, and Tamasa is in the mode of ignorance. So remember, we saw that the false ego divides into three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So these are the Sanskrit names, because Lord Sankarsana presides over the false ego, is what we saw. This Shiva is an expansion of Lord Sankarsana, and therefore you see these three terms that I've mentioned. These are the classifications: Vaikarika, Taijasa, and Tamasa. So these are the different types of egotism and the three different modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. So that is the role of Lord Shiva. He is our second gunavatar. Now the third one, first one was Brahma in the mode of passion, second one was Shiva in the mode of ignorance, and the third one that we are discussing is Vishnu, who's on the mode of goodness. And we also saw quickly that this Vishnu is the same as the Kshirodakshay Vishnu. Okay, so now he presides over the mode of goodness. He presides over the mode of goodness. And he is equal to Krishna, meaning he's not different from Krishna, but he's an expansion of Krishna. And how do we understand this? We understand this with this analogy given in the Brahma Samhita, which is, there is one original candle, and with the help of that original candle, several other candles can be lit. So each of these candles have the same quality as the original, but still there was one original, right? So like that, there is this one original Krishna, and several expansions of Krishna are present, but each of these expansions are very much like the original, right? They are just like how the fire in each of the separate candles are very much like the original. So this Vishnu incarnation, he's although the master of the mode of goodness, he's not in touch with the material nature. That means he's not in the mixed modes. When we say mode of goodness in this world, it is generally not pure goodness. Generally, no, it's never pure goodness. It's never pure goodness. It is always having a tinge of the other modes. Okay, so mode of goodness in this world is strictly not pure goodness. It is not pure goodness. But Vishnu, though he is presiding over the mode of goodness, he is very pure. He is in Shuddha Sattva always. Okay. And the second point here is that he is a part, but Krishna is the whole. So just like a candle can be lit from the original is the source, the original is the whole, and the rest of them are an expansion or a part from that original. So, and this Vishnu is the leader. Brahma and Lord Shiva are obedient servants to the Supreme Lord, and they obey the orders of Vishnu. So Vishnu is our leader here among the three Guna Avataras. So after discussing the Guna Avataras and after discussing the Leela Avataras and the Purusha Avataras, the next classification is Manvantara Avataras. Now, this is quite interesting. See, Manvantara Avataras can be understood in two ways. One is the Manu, there are 14 Manus. See, this is a nice chart. You have Brahma, who is the first created living being. And Brahma lives for 100 years in his age. It is not the same as our age, okay? But he lives for 100 years by his time calculation. And one day of Brahma is called as a Kalpa. Now, one day of Brahma is equal to 311 trillion years, according to human calculation. So you can imagine the life of Brahma when compared to us. Okay, so Brahma lives for 100 years. For every kalpa or a day of Brahma, there is a creation and an annihilation. So, and in a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus who appear. These Manus, they preside over 71 Divya Yugas or Chatur Yugas. 71 Chaturyugas, and each Chaturyuga has Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kaliyuga. So we are in the 28th Chaturyuga of the 7th Manu, who is called as Vaivasvata Manu. That is where we are. Okay, 28th Chaturyuga in the Kaliyuga of the 7th Manu, who is called as Vaivasvata Manu. Now, Manvantara Avataras, they are generally discussed to be in two ways. One method of discussion is that the Manu itself is an empowered incarnation of the Lord, right? Because obviously, if Svayambhuva Manu or Vaivasvata Manu or any of these Manus, they have to preside over these yugas and they have so many responsibilities, they should definitely be empowered by the Lord. So the Manus themselves are considered as incarnations, meaning empowered by the Lord. But at the same time, in each of these Manvantaras, there are also specific Manvantara incarnations who are celebrated. Just like in yesterday's class, you heard that in every Manvantara, there is, there are devas, set of devas, there are set of saptarishis, there are set of, one person who is Indra, like that. So there are different personalities, right? Like that, there is one form of the Lord that is specifically celebrated as the Manvantara incarnation. So now who are these? So here you have the Manvantara and the Manu who presides over it. And then here you have the Indra. Yeah, this is the Indra. And hold on. Actually, this should be the, I think I mixed up the charts. Anyway, so there should be one incarnation. Like for example, the Vaivasvata Manvantara incarnation for the Vaivasvata Manu is Vamana. Vamana celebrated as the incarnation for this Vaivasvata Manu. For Savarini Manu, who is the next one in the 8th Manvantara, it is Sarvabhauma. Lord Sarvabhauma is the Manvantara incarnation. And then you have Rishabha for the next one, Vishvaksena for the next one, and then Dharmasetu, Sudhama, Yogeshwara, Brihadbhanu. So these are the different forms of the Lord who become the Manvantara incarnation. They are all the Supreme Lord. They preside over that. They become the Lord of that entire Manvantara. They are celebrated. Like for example, we saw Vamana was one of the Leela avatars. But he's also a Manvantara avatar, meaning Manvantara incarnation. Okay. Actually, this part of the chart should have been the name of the Lord, but here we just have the name of the specific Indra for each of the Manvantara. So like that, even in the previous Manvantaras, before the seventh Manvantara, there were different incarnations of the Lord who were celebrated to be the Manvantara incarnation. So what did we see? That Manvantara incarnation sometimes is understood to be the Manu itself, because he's got a special power from the Lord, but there is one specific form of the Lord who is also celebrated as the Manvantara incarnation. Here we have something interesting that Prabhupada writes. If 14 Manus appear in one day of Brahma, there are 420 Manus during 1 month of Brahma. And during 1 year of Brahma, there are 5,040 Manus. Since Brahma lives for 100 of his years, it is calculated that there are 504,000 Manus manifested during the lifetime of one Brahma. Since there are innumerable universes, no one can imagine the totality of the Manvantara incarnations. So we have so many Manvantara incarnations, so many Manvantara incarnations just in one lifetime of Brahma. So how many do we have? We have 504,000 Manvantara incarnations. So there is one Manu, there is one Indra, and there is also a form of the Lord who becomes the Manvantara incarnation. And who is the one for this Manvantara, this Vaivasvata Manu Manvantara? The form of the Lord is Mahamana. Okay. This is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam talks about each of these in detail, who is who in which incarnation, in which Manvantara. So the next set of avatars is the Yuga avatars. So just like how we have Manvantara avatar for one big span of Manvantara, similarly, we also have Yuga avataras for Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Kali Yuga. For each of these, there is one incarnation of the Lord who usually comes during the Sandhis. This is also there in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, that a Yuga avatar generally appears during the Sandhis of two Yugas. That is when, either in the beginning Sandhi or in the end Sandhi. Sandhi is a transition period. Just like in the beginning 1,000 years or beginning 5,000 years and the ending 5,000 years. So we saw towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, who appeared? Krishna appeared. In the beginning of Kali Yuga, who appeared? Lord Chaitanya appeared. Like that, usually. Okay, this is some information. So four Yugas are there. And in each of these four Yugas, the incarnation, the Yuga avatar of the Lord comes in four different colors. In the Satya Yuga, he comes as white color. What does he establish? He establishes the Yuga Dharma. What is the Yuga Dharma of the Satya Yuga? It is meditation. In the Treta Yuga, he appears in a reddish complexion. And he establishes Yajna. Because Yajna or fire sacrifice is the Yuga Dharma in the Treta Yuga. Then he comes in Dwapara Yuga, he comes in a blackish complexion, blackish blue complexion, and he establishes or he propagates the importance of deity worship. And in the Kali Yuga, he's sometimes blackish, okay? And during certain specific special Chatur Yugas, he comes in a yellow complexion. So this is again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and so many other places. And who are these incarnations for each of these yugas? That is also seen in the Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, in the Satya Yuga, the white complexion of the Lord who comes to teach meditation is Lord Kapila. This is the reference from teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And again, Bhagavatam gives other incarnations too, because we have so many Satya Yugas in a Kalpa, right? So who are the other incarnations? Hamsa, he was white in color. Hayagriva, in one of the letters of Srila Prabhupada, he mentions Hayagriva was the incarnation in one of the Satya Yugas. Then Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshwara, Amala, Ishwara, Purusha, Avyakta, Paramatma. These are the different names of the Lord who appear in Satya Yuga and who become the incarnation of that particular Yuga. In Treta Yuga, the common example given is Lord Yajna. Lord Yajneshwara, the one who presides over fire sacrifices, he appeared in the Treta Yuga in a reddish complexion. And then there are other examples too. In the Treta Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Vishnu, Yajna. This is the Yajneshwar. Okay. Prishnigarbha, who's Prishnigarbha? The one who appeared in front of Dhruva. Dhruva Priya is called as Prishnigarbha. Sarvadeva, Urukrama, Vrikshapi, Jayanta, and Urugaya. So these are the different names of the Lord who come in the Treta Yuga. And then Dwapara Yuga, Krishna, of course, blackish color, and the one that is mentioned over and over is Krishna. In the Kali Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, of course, we have deity worship that is propagated. And in Kali Yuga, which is the current Yuga, generally the Lord appears in a blackish complexion. Okay. But during a special Kali Yuga, the Lord can sometimes appear in a yellowish complexion. And this is that special Kali Yuga, because this is a Kali Yuga that comes immediately after Krishna's appearance. And who comes immediately after Krishna's appearance? It is Lord Chaitanya. And this is also quoted in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So not only is it there in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it is also from the Srimad Bhagavatam. During special Chaturyugas, the Lord appears in a yellow complexion and he spreads the chanting of the holy names. The entire 11th, I mean, in the 11th canto in the beginning, this is the whole discussion, right? The Yuga Dharma of the age of Kali and how it is spread by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is the incarnation? How he spreads this chanting of the holy names. Now, when he spoke about the Yuga avatars and he ended up saying that the Yuga avatar in the age of Kali is yellowish in complexion, Sanatan Goswami, very intelligent, he just stopped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for a moment and he could understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling, because of course Sanatan Goswami is so well read in scriptures and he knows the incarnation of the age of Kali and he had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu face to face. Right, so he knew Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the incarnation for the age of Kali, and he asked a question, you know, just to see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would answer. He asked, "Oh, my dear Lord, how can I identify the incarnation for this age?" He knows it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he just asked. And when he asked this question, there is also another reason why he asked this question. Of course, he wanted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell that he is the incarnation, but at the same time he also wanted to clarify certain things for everyone in this world. That is how we identify an incarnation, how the common people can identify an incarnation, especially in the age of Kali. Everyone comes around as an incarnation, but how do we substantiate who's an incarnation? So for the common people also, he asked this question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and he said, you should always understand an incarnation with reference to authoritative scriptures, because an incarnation will never declare himself to be an incarnation, and his followers can actually find out who's an incarnation and who's a pretender just by referring to scriptures. So that is how you find out whether a person is a real incarnation or not. And then he elaborated, how do you understand who's an incarnation? He said, there are principal features, which is also called as personal characteristics. And there are marginal features, which comprise of this incarnation's activities. When you understand the personal characteristics and the activities of this person, you keep scripture as a reference, you refer with that, and you come up with the understanding whether this person is an incarnation or not. Now, what are some of the primary features or personal characteristics or principal features? For example, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it begins with the description of the Supreme Lord as Param Satyam. So the Lord is eternal. He's Param. He's the supreme original cause and he's Satyam. He's the ultimate truth, right? So these such characteristics are called as personal characteristics, whereas the secondary characteristics are his activities. That Supreme Lord taught Brahma how to create, right? That was one of the activities. So when you understand the personal characteristics and the secondary characteristics, you can come to an understanding whether this person is an incarnation or not. This is the formula. And how do you know which personal characteristic will be the Supreme Lord? You have to refer the scripture. Now in scriptures, just to elaborate more on this, in scriptures, from time to time, how the personal characteristics of an incarnation should be is mentioned. Okay, what are the bodily features of such a person? How his body is formed? What are the marks on his hands? How does he look? All these different descriptions are given in scripture. So you have to first identify the personal characteristics. You have to see he should have all the qualities of the Supreme Lord as described in scripture. That is one thing. Second thing, what are his activities? What are the uncommon activities he's doing? That is something that you have to see. Just because he has a few mystic perfections, it doesn't make him God. Like, for example, Prabhupada often gives this example that when Krishna was here, he lifted the Govardhan with his little finger. Even a person who has all the mystic Ashtasiddhis cannot do such a great task. Now, if we have to propagate the Yuga Dharma, you need an empowered incarnation to do it. So it was very, very clear when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present. You read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is not only mentioned in certain scriptures, it is mentioned in many universal scriptures that he is the incarnation of the Lord in the age of Kali, like Bhavishya Puran and so many other places. It is directly described that he is Vishnu Tattva. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the bodily features of the Supreme Lord, and also his activities was that he came to propagate the chanting of the holy names. So it becomes very clear. So one should see through the eyes of scripture. So that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining to Sanatan Goswami. Now, Sanatan Goswami, he wanted to confirm with Lord Chaitanya. He wanted to check and he wanted a confirmation from Lord Chaitanya's mouth. So he tried to confirm Lord Chaitanya's personal characteristics as being the incarnation for this age of Kali, because it is mentioned in scripture that in this age of Kali, a personality with a golden complexion will appear at this point in time, in this place, his mother's name, his father's name, all this is mentioned, and he had those physical characteristics. So Sanatana Goswami wanted to confirm with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then you think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will say, yes, I'm the incarnation. He didn't say. He said, let us leave aside all these discussions and let's continue with the next description. He just smiled and he said that and Sanatana Goswami could understand. He just said, okay. So it was very clear from there, because otherwise, maybe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have reacted differently. So he just said, okay, let's go on. He just smiled and said that. And then they began to discuss the Aveshavataras. So these are the empowered incarnations. Now, empowered incarnations or detailed classification is three. The Sakshat, it should be Shakti Avesha and Anand. Oh, so hold on. Yeah, the Sakshat, Shakti Avesha and Vibhuti. These are the three classifications. Now for Sakshat or direct, the Supreme Lord himself, the examples are Sesha and Ananta. The Lord himself expands and he takes the role of taking the bed of the Supreme Lord, serving the Supreme Lord. And he also takes the position of holding up the earth planet. He's an expansion of the Lord. But again, let me tell this from Laghu Bhagavatamrita. It is also mentioned that from time to time, even a jiva can take that position. Okay, this is the verdict of Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Even a jiva can take the role of Sesha or Ananta. A jiva can. Now, so then he becomes a Avesha incarnation from time to time. It depends. Every time it's not the same. Now, the indirect or the Shakti Avesha is always a jiva. He's always a jiva. And who are these? Parashurama, Narada, Kumara, Sprutu. All of these are Shakti Avesha. For example, Parashuram, he was invested with the Shakti for Dushta Dhamana, meaning chastising all the bad people. So he went and he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. You all know the story. Then Naradamuni, he was invested with the potency for spreading Bhakti, Bhakti Avesha. Kumaras, Jnana, they were invested with Jnana. Prithu Maharaj, Lokapalana Shakti. For, he was the king, right? Remember when Prithu Maharaj appeared, he had the marks of Lord Vishnu and all that. So Lokapalana Shakti, even Dushyanta's son Bharata, Bhagavatam says, Dushyanta's son Bharata, he was also invested with this Lokapalana Shakti and he also carried the marks of Shankha Chakra Gada, Shankha and Chakra for Lokapalana. So this was not Bharat Maharaj from the fifth canto. This is another Bharata, who's the son of Dushyanta Shakuntala. So that is also another kind of an avesha. So, I mean, it's not mentioned here in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That example is not given. I was just trying to connect that example with Prithu Maharaj. That's all. But teachings of Lord Chaitanya gives a list of the Shakti Avesha avatars. I can show you in the chart. Here we have. So these are so many Shakti Aveshas. You have four Kumaras, Narad Muni, Brahma. Sometimes Brahma is also, because Brahma has to create, right? He's also an empowered incarnation. He's also a Guna avatar. Okay, I told you, sometimes the incarnations can overlap. Anantaseshas, sometimes, yes, they can also be Jivas. Prithu Maharaj, Parashuram, and so on. So there are many like that, many Shakti Aveshas. Then, let's move on to the next part. After Shakti Avesha, the next set is Vibhuti. This is interesting because not only are the Jivas empowered, Shakti Avesha, you also have Vibhutis, meaning if someone is especially beautiful or especially powerful, you should understand it's a spark of Krishna's splendor. Vibhuti Yoga in the Bhagavad Gita talks about this, right? How Krishna, he invests his potency in anything that is splendorous and great. The best of everything is actually a representation of Krishna. He's a Vibhuti of Krishna. So a particular spark, you know, because Krishna says the entire universe itself is a spark of his splendor, but a spark of a spark of a spark is invested, and someone looks especially attractive, especially beautiful, especially has some great qualities, then you should understand that it is coming from Krishna. This is Vibhuti. Okay, three kinds of aveshas. One is indirect through a jiva, one is Vibhuti, and the other one is direct sakshat. Now, after he spoke about Aveshavataras, I think this is the last division, Aveshavataras. So again, let's look at the chart to make sure that we have everything in place. We did the Leelavatars, you all remember. We did the Purushavataras, the three Vishnus. We did the Gunavataras, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Then the Shakti Aveshas, or the Aveshavataras, and we saw the different classification of the Aveshavataras. And Manvantra Avataras. So you remember the Manvantra Avataras and the Yuga Avatars. So we did all of these different sets. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six different sets of Swamsha expansions or avataras. So when we say avataras, it is not just 10, it is six sets. And in each of these sets, you have so many personalities who appear from time to time in every kalpa. And they perform pastimes. Okay. So now, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spoke about all this. He said that this original personality, Lord Krishna, he's always like a 16-year-old boy. And when he desires to descend into this universe, he sends his father and mother first, who are his devotees, and then he himself expands. So now he's talking about how the Supreme Personality descends. Supreme Personality also descends, right? So how does he descend? He is there in Goloka Vrindavan as a 16-year-old boy. And when he desires to descend to perform pastimes, first he sends his devotees to keep the situation good for him to come. So first he sends his father and mother, and then he himself appears. So, and what does he do here? He performs various pastimes in innumerable universes. Krishna's incarnation in this material world is not limited to this Brahmanda. It is happening in so many of these multitude universes, and he performs all these beautiful pastimes which no other form of the Lord can perform. Right from the killing of Putana to his pastimes, not only in Vrindavan, to his pastimes in Mathura and Dwaraka, him doing the Mathura pastimes like killing of Kamsa, and then protecting the Yadus, and then going forward and doing pastimes in Dwaraka, being the prince of Dwaraka, and killing several other kings and establishing Dharma, and finally his disappearance after 125 years. So all these pastimes are happening in all these universes continuously, every moment, every second. How do we understand that? Just like how when we look up at the sky, we see the sun, right? So the sun rises at one point and slowly passes through, and then it sets at another point. So like that, the sun is continuously performing its activities at every second, right? So like that, the Supreme Lord's pastimes are happening across all the universes every second. Like, for example, if he's killing Putana demon now at this minute, here in our Brahmana and some other universe, He's actually doing the next past tense. So these are continuously happening. All the past tense are continuously happening every second, every moment through all the different Brahmandas. And his activities are like the waves of the Ganges River. So they are continuous. And there is no, just like how there is no limit to the flowing of the waves of the Ganges, there is no cessation in the various features of Lord Krishna's pastimes in different universes. From childhood, he displays many pastimes, and ultimately, the pinnacle of all his pastimes is the rasa dance in Vrindavan. So, all these pastimes are continuously happening in these universes so that everybody can get attracted to Krishna and everyone can attain perfection in their lives. So, and this is an analogy given. Just as the sun can be seen in its movement through 3,600 palas, which is a calculation of time, all the pastimes of Krishna can be seen in any of the universes. So, any of the universes, Krishna's pastimes happen. Lord Krishna remains in this universe only for 125 years, but all the pastimes of that period are exhibited in each and every universe, be it Vrindavan pastimes, Mathura pastimes, or Dwarka pastimes. Since all these pastimes are present in one or other of the myriad universes at a given time, they are called as eternal. So, Krishna's pastimes in the material world is eternally happening. There is no cessation to it. Non-stop Krishna is performing pastimes. He's not stopping even for a second within this universe. Just like how Krishna is eternally present in the spiritual world, he's also eternally present in the material world because he is continuously performing pastimes. And if one may ask, okay, Krishna, he went away 5,000 years ago and I didn't get to see him, but still he's performing pastimes even in this universe. How? In his Aprakat Leela in Bhauma Vrindavan. So great sages and great personalities like our Goswamis, they are able to enter the Aprakat Leela of the Lord right there sitting in Vrindavan. So Krishna's pastimes are eternally happening even in the material world because his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are eternal. Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, everything of Krishna is always eternal. And though the Supreme Lord resides in that Goloka Vrindavan, in that spiritual world, and by his supreme will alone, he comes to this material world. He doesn't come here because of karma or any other thing. They would Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvatah. So Janma and karma of Krishna is always divyam. It is always transcendental. So he comes by his own will and he performs several activities and they are manifested in innumerable universes. The beauty about Krishna is whenever and wherever Krishna appears, he displays all his six opulences in full. So that is the original person, the original candle that we are talking about. So these are the different Swamsha expansions. Swamsha expansions are, these Swamsha expansions, all of the Swamsha expansions need not have the complete 100% opulences of Krishna. They will have a portion. And there is also, sometimes even in the Swamsha expansion, you see that they are divided into Prabhava and Vaibhava forms. So the Prabhava are fully potent, okay, meaning they are able to carry out the task for which they are here to perform the Leela fully. Some will be partially potent, meaning they may not be showing all the opulences. Some will not show all the opulences. So like that, there are divisions even in the Swamsha forms, Prabhava, Vaibhava, and so on. This is just something extra directly from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's all we have for today, and that's all this chapter for teachings of Lord Chaitanya was. If you have any questions, we can open up for discussion. Hare Krishna. This was relatively easier than yesterday's, right? Yesterday was very technical, and thank goodness we had Gaurangarshan Prabhu yesterday. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. No, today was also very technical, but you presented it so beautifully that it simplified it. But otherwise, it was really technical. But thank you. I know this was your, this was your subject matter because you have spoken so many times during the Goloka chart explanation. So thank you. It was really very, very beautiful and wonderful class. Well presented. And you really did a good job. Thank you so much. Hare
Thank
Krishna.
you, Kirtida Mataji, for always encouraging. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Hare Krishna Mataji, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I had so many questions as you were talking, and then I kind of forgot the bit. First question I have. So these Shamsa, Arnodhika Sai Vishnu, those Vishnus, they are in the material world only?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and though, so...
They are responsible only for the material creation and the material world dealings, yes. Vishnus in general, we say to do with the material world. Narayana Vaikuntha. That's how Vishnu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes this Vishnu is also called Narayana because he lies in the ocean and he's the abode of all the Naras, all the living entities. So the names can be used interchangeably, but technically Narayana spiritual world, Vishnu's material affairs. But he's not touched by the material energy.
Okay. And then, so when you're saying that when one universe, you know, there's the annihilation that happens. So it seems from listening to this, that is there ever an end to the material world?
No.
Right? Because even if our universe ends, this Brahmanda collapses with his, you know, whatever goes back into Lord, to Vishnu and everything like that, then there's still other Brahmandas that are active and Krishna is happening continuously somewhere. Okay, so that just brings a whole...
Actually, the material universe goes on and on and on. I mean, I think who's that? Someone asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? Like he wanted to, Vasudev Dutt, what happens if, yeah, I think this was a conversation.
If everybody becomes a devotee. Right.
And everyone, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it doesn't really happen. But even if it happens, what loss is there for Krishna in one universe? Because there are so many universes.
Right. Okay. And then my other question was, can you... oh my gosh, I can't remember what the other. Okay, that's all for now. If I remember, I'll come back to it. But that was my one question. I had another thought, but of course it's thank you very much. This was really, really good. I feel like I'm in a college course taking all these notes. But it's really beneficial because like Prabhu says, we can appreciate his sweetness even more when we see his greatness. That was just really hit me on the spot. So yes, thank you very much. And I appreciate all this that you've done for us. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And I owe a call. I'll do that today. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilas, Nimataji. Such a beautiful, beautiful class. You explained it so detailed, Nimataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, we have Parima Mataji. Mataji, you can go ahead with your question or realization.
Hare Krishna Mataji, as usual, Mataji, again, a very, very amazing class. It only shows your expertise that you could explain such a complex matter so wonderfully. Because honestly speaking, the two classes were kind of above my head. I have to actually listen to them again. Yesterday, what I heard, I have to. You know, read it. But Mataji, I just missed the first part of the class. I just came like 2-3 minutes late. Where do you get this chart, Mataji?
Goloka chart?
Not the Goloka chart. Goloka chart, I have the first part of your lecture. You showed that all the Prabhava forms and the... That chart, yeah. I really wanted it.
This one you're talking about. This you can get it online. Yeah. Don't worry. And the second one is Gaurang Darshan Prabhu Subhodini guidebook. That has this one. Both we can just send this on the...
Yeah, please, Mataji, because I would like to see this chart and then hear the class. Maybe that it'll help me. So I really want those two charts. If you can put it on the group, Mataji, that would be great.
Definitely, I'll do that. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji. That's it. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat pranam.
Thank you very much, Mataji. Mulika Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasni Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for such a detailed explanation, Mataji. Definitely, it takes time to understand, for me at least. So I have some very small questions, but I have a few of them. Hopefully, if I remember. So first question was, you were talking about the second Chaturvyuha, the Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Aniruddha. So in that we see that Sankarsana is where the three modes come from, and then the mode of goodness was in Aniruddha, was from Aniruddha, and the mode of passion was from Pradyumna. So why was there nothing for mode of ignorance over there, Mataji?
Yeah, mode of ignorance, nothing much, because from the mode of ignorance, the different elemental layers are formed, right? And each of them have a presiding deity there. So it's not really mentioned that, you know, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Sankarsana had to predominate over it.
Yeah. Okay, so for each element, like you were saying, Agnidev and Vamanadev and Matsya Avatar and all that. Okay.
Third canto of Bhagavatam, teachings of Lord Kapila, also the same information is given. You can read that also. Same, ditto it is, whatever Mahaprabhu is telling here. Yeah.
So then, Mataji, then you also talked about Shirodakashayi Vishnu also being in the mode of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Or being the...
Yeah, because Gunavatars, right? The Gunavatars also take care of, they preside over different modes.
Right. Okay, so does that mean that he is coming from Aniruddha aspect? No, they all come from only Sankarsana.
Oh, like that. Yeah, that kind of understanding is also there. Each of these, I can send you some references. I think, I don't know if it's Bhagavatam or Laghu Bhagavatamrita, they also talk about this. I should be able to give this information, because each of these, and also it is there in Bhagavatam, yeah. Each of these, they are also considered as expansions of Vasudeva, Sankarsana and Aniruddha, the three Vishnus. There is information about it, yeah.
Okay, okay. So Mahavishnu is coming from, because we say from we get it's Mahavishnu.
There. Yeah, there is some information in Bhagavatam about it, yeah. If you probably have third canto Subodhini, you should be able to get the charts. They have the charts there. Even in Pracheta's prayers also, I think it's there.
Okay, Mataji.
Yeah.
One more question. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
So then the other day, Prabhuji was talking about Krishna and Goloka being of... Okay, he's either in those two ages, right? Balya or Paukanda. I know here you were saying that 16 years old in Goloka Vrindavan. So I was just trying to understand where the difference is.
So there are some descriptions of Krishna. He's always, yes, according to Bhagavatam, when we read Krishna Leela, we see that Krishna leaves at around 11 years old, right? He leaves at around 11 years old, 10 and a half, 11 years old. He's left Vrindavan and he's gone to Mathura. But the original form of Krishna, 16-year-old youth in Goloka Vrindavan. So that means that Krishna, this is how the Acharyas describe. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur specifically talks about this in his commentaries on the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. He talks about how though Krishna left at this kind of age, like around 10, 11, but he was exhibiting the age of 16. In the spiritual world. Navayavana, he's always, that is the beauty of Krishna. Krishna exhibits like as if he's a 16-year-old. He appeared to be 16 years old.
Okay, so last question and I'll stop there, Mataji, so sorry. That was about how Krishna, so you said that the material universe is eternally present.
Mm-hmm.
And also, eternally present as in, of course, there is annihilation, but there will always be some or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Krishna's pastimes in the material universe are also eternally there, because either he in the Prakata form or in the Aprakata form. But why does he want to have pastimes both in the material and spiritual world simultaneously throughout is my question.
To attract all of us. Otherwise, how are we going to go back? Just for us.
Okay, so for all the living beings, he is coming here always. He's always present. Although he's present as a Paramatma, he also wants to have a physical.
Who can interact so much with Paramatma until you're a Sthitadhir Muni and you can see the Paramatma, you're a Jnana Chakshu. We are none of that. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very beautiful class. Kind of, I think, got a little bit clarity today. Hopefully, it'll stay. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Indu Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Indu Mataji, for such a wonderful question and so sweetly answered to the last one. So now I request Anuradha Mataji. Hare Bol.
Thank you so much, Mataji. I mean, such a beautiful class. I don't know if beautiful is the word, because it's so wonderful, Mataji. So many concepts. So I have a few questions, Mataji. I want to glorify more, but I will just go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Mataji.
So what are Tanmatras, Mataji? Sorry, I missed that. I've heard it, but conception-wise, I want to know it.
The different other, elements. The other Tanmatras, the other elements. Earth, water,
fire. Five.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The other elements.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we ever hear a mention of it? Because five are so often mentioned, Mataji. But, I mean, anything else is called Tanmatra, is it?
Let me see. I mean, I just wrote it down as Prabhupada has, I just used Prabhupada's words as it is. But let me see. I can actually probably look, send you a message. Would that be easier?
Yes, yes, Mataji.
I'll send you a message with all the list, yeah.
So again, in Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text 8, Prabhupada is writing that, see, it is about seeing how this gopis and the Dwarka people, they could see Krishna. And Prabhupada mentions that, not everybody can see. And then he's saying that how the demigods cannot see Krishna and they have to go to the, Shweta Deepa on the shore and then pray, Purusha Shukta. So are they seeing or they see, Tene Brahma Rida, is it in the heart or they can actually physically see? Yeah.
They cannot see,
right?
That's why they're standing away. They are not like entering, right? They hear the voice of, that's what Bhagavatam says. They hear the voice of, even when Krishna says he's going to descend, they only hear the voice. And then Brahma tells them. Brahma sitting there in the center and he's telling the rest of the demigods.
Yeah. So it's more like a heart to heart.
Heart to heart, yes.
Yeah. You're right. And then which Subodhini did you say we can get the chart? Third, Canto 3, Subodhini?
Madhya Leela?
Uh-huh. I do have that, Madhya Leela. Madhya Leela. Okay, Madhya Leela. It's only one book, yeah.
It is 20th chapter, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Okay. 2028, Mataji?
20th chapter. Yeah.
Okay. So now the fourth, last question that I have, it's like, I don't know the question itself, Mataji, but... because it's such complicated, I barely understand anything, but your class was so clear, so I could get something. So you said Shankarshana and then you mentioned like the three things. I don't remember the Vyakarna, something like that. You remember you went back and then
the different ego transformation.
Yes. Here you mentioned Shankarshan, right?
In the mode of ignorance, yeah, Sankarshan.
So is it Sankarshan is Balaram or Lord Shiva? I got confused there, Mataji. I mean,
okay, yeah, I mean, it's always confusing, which is right. Here we go. When we were describing Lord Shiva, right? Yeah, here.
Yeah.
The combination of three kinds of transformed consciousness, which is Vaikarika, Taijasa and Tamasa. These are the different types of egotisms that is represented by Lord Shiva in goodness, passion and ignorance.
Yeah. So did you explain this with in relation to Shankarshan? Shankarshan is Balaramji, isn't it? I mean...
Yeah, wait. I'll tell you what I said. I said it in... See, the what happened during creation, Mahatattva transformed into false ego and then divided into three modes. This Mahatattva as such is predominated by Shankarsana. The Mahatattva itself, the deity is Shankarsana. And when it develops into goodness, passion and ignorance, the technical term for the false ego in the mode of goodness, false ego in the mode of passion, and false ego in the mode of ignorance is actually these three Sanskrit terms.
Okay, so Shankarshana is the predominating deity sort of thing, isn't it?
And the person who's taking care of it or who's executing the task is Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva's worshipable deity is Shankarshana, right?
So Balaramji. Is it Balaramji, Shankarshana? No, they're separate.
Expansion of Balaram.
Okay. Okay, Mataji. There will be so many confusion, but can I ask you when I get, I mean, not in the class, but in general also.
Sure. Whatever I know, I will tell Mataji. I mean,
you know so much
wrong, also correctly.
Yeah. Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you once again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Mataji. Isn't a Tanmatra tanmatras are the subtle elements.
Yeah, they are very subtle, yes. False ego and the three modes, they are very subtle.
Sound, touch, sight, smell, taste, those who...
tanmatras, yeah.
So they're the sense objects.
Yeah.
Sense objects are the tanmatras.
Response to five gross elements, that is air, ether, fire, water.
Okay. So the five subtle and the five gross together are the tanmatras.
Five subtle are the tanmatras that corresponds to the five gross.
Five gross. Okay. Thanks, Mataji. Thanks for that clarification. Yeah.
And regarding Indu Mataji's question, you said, right, that the predominant deity of ignorance, isn't it Lord Shiva?
Yeah, among the Gunavataras, it is Lord Shiva. What was Indu Mataji's question?
Like she was asking, right, why you didn't mention about the ignorance, you just mentioned about the passion and the goodness.
Yes, among the Gunavataras, I was talking about the elemental elements, right, during creation. So I was talking with specific to that, but generally the Gunavataras' mode of ignorance is predominated by Lord Shiva. That is right.
Yeah. But among the four Chaturvyuha, that's what, I mean, among the Chaturvyuha.
Chaturvyuha.
That's what, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the tanmatras, Mataji.
Mataji, especially my level is very low, but somehow hearing every day H. Jayapataka Maharaj evening class, so at least 5% clear, Mataji. And yesterday class, we are in a hospital, but that is very high. Not understand much, Mataji, but today it's clear and I am late because please pray for my Falguni Babi's brother. He is passed away. He entered into Goloka Vrindavana because of last stage cancer. And he informed me that she get from ESKCON Ahmedabad urine and cow dung from last 1 month, and not eating anything. His brother is not eating anything, hearing only Tulsi RP and a Gaur RP. So please pray for that soul that he will enter by Srila Prabhupada mercy in a dham. And today's class is very, very inspiring, Mataji, but our level is very low, Mataji. I will hear it and then make a notes and then I will send it to you. Koti koti, but it's more clear than yesterday, Mataji. And before that day, hear from H. Jayapataka Maharaj 2 days. So slowly improvement in read C.C. Bhagavatam. It's not working, Mataji, but we have to digest in our day-to-day life. And now somehow by Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Sri Radha Gopi 10% memorized. Hari Hari Gauranga, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam, pray your sincere seva. Yes, Mataji, sure, hear again. Make a notes, Mataji. Today, little not understand, Mataji. Little understand, 10-15%. But I hear again, ignore for my daughter and
Srila
Prabhupada Srila Gurudev ki jai, Shri Radha
Gopi. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, and we'll surely pray.
Gaurangi Mataji.
Oh, hi Krishna.
Very well.
I wanted to go back to Lord Shiva's slide.
Okay,
I'm just trying to read that last, the bottom. Okay, Lord Shiva is a combination of a few kinds of transformed consciousness known as Vaikarika, Tejasa and Tamasa, types of egotism. Yes, this last bullet point, you know, I'm not clear about actually.
Yeah. So.
Okay, I think you said before that, you know, this refers to the false ego manifested in the form of ignorance, goodness, and passion, right?
Right, that's what it is. It's just the terminology. That's that was put down by Prabhupada and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So I just copied this slide. That's all.
Uh-huh.
And I just copy pasted the whole thing. Yeah.
And so those terms mean that he is the presiding deity in those various categories? Okay. Also, when you were explaining about the origin of the 11 rudras, can you kind of repeat that a little bit? I kind of missed that.
Oh, yeah. Bhagavatam explains that from the forehead of Brahma, when he was angry that the Kumaras did not take up creation, from the middle of his forehead, Rudra appeared. And he gave him the name Rudra. He asked, give me a name. And he gave him the name Rudra. And that Rudra expands into 11 forms. And they are called as the Ekadash Rudras for every universe. Ekadash has 11. So for every universe, there are 11, or this universe at least, there are 11 Rudras. And they are in charge of various universal affairs, mostly to do with destruction and other things. And they were first asked to create, and then it was quite a mess because they were very, because they were destructive. And then Brahma told them, okay, okay, calm down. And then he created Manu after that. So this Ekadash Rudra, some of them can be Jivas as well, according to Laghu Bhagavatamrita. Okay.
And you said initially, it was one Rudra that came from the forehead, right, of Brahma? Right. And then that one, excuse me?
Who then expanded. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that, so how?
Yeah.
Initially, one Rudra appeared. And then when he expanded, for there to be a total of 11 rudras, that means there were 10 expansions, isn't it?
I really don't know. I don't have an answer.
Okay. And then also, one last thing is, you know, we understand that Lord Shiva worshipped Sankarshan. But you also said that Shiva, I think you said that Shiva was an expansion of Sankarshan also, right?
Yeah, ultimately, if you look at the flow of how one expansion comes from the other, yeah, you can say that too. But yeah, Lord Shiva, but he's a transformation. He might be an expansion, but still he's a transformation. He's not the same.
Okay. Oh, he's not the same. So you would say he's more transformation rather than expansion.
Right.
Okay, I think.
And
I
he worships Shankarsana as his worshipable lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my question, because if he was, it's like if he's an expansion, it's like he's worshiping himself.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, a transformation. Yeah.
Okay, and with the. I said it was my last, but I lied. You know, with the tanmatras, you were saying that they refer to the subtle sense objects, right? And subtle sense objects refer to,
just like from ether comes sound, and then from sound comes the sense of hearing, like that. During creation, then from water comes taste, right? And I mean, water comes what form? Yeah, I mean, not form.
Taste.
Yeah, so taste would be a tanmatra.
Correct, right, Mataji? You have
yes.
Yes.
Sound, touch, taste. Sound, touch. These are the tanmatras, the subtle elements.
So from ether sprouts sound, and then the consecutive elements will sprout one thing like that.
Yeah, so how about to distinguish the subtle sense object from the gross sense object? Like taste is the subtle sense object. So what would be the gross sense object?
The tongue, right?
Like from ether, sound comes. From air, touch comes. From sight, fire comes. From taste, water comes. From smell, earth.
Then the gross sense.
For sound, the gross is ether. For touch, the gross is air. For sight, the fire. Taste, water. Smell, earth.
Okay. Okay, got it. All right, thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, your class today was my favorite subject. I'm so dry, Mataji, that this creation subject is my favorite, actually. Yeah. So it was a very fascinating class. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Garangi Mataji. Yeah, even I get fascinated by this.
Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Now I request Sukhasagari Mataji. Mataji, you can please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti, then we pronounce.
Hare Krishna.
Such a detailed but complex class. But, you know, I don't know how you prepared and handled it so beautifully. And I just have one question. If you recall that shloka in the Bhagavad Gita where he says, Rudra Naam Shankara Chashmi, something like that. He says, I am Shankara, or like Shiva in the Rudra. So is that Shiva the same as the Sadashiva? Or
no.
I mean, are there any, can you elaborate, Preeti?
Okay, the Shiva Tattva originates from Sadashiva. Sadashiva is directly present in the northeast corner of the Vaikuntha planets called as Ishana, Ishana Mula. That is where Sadashiva is present. Sadashiva is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. He's not a transformation. And then from him springs Shambhu, who actually touches material nature. That's where the transformation happens. So from that Sadashiva, comes Shambhu. And then from Shambhu, Shambhu transforms actually as he touches material nature. Then within the material universe, there are the 11 Rudras within the universe. So all of these are gunas. They are not they are transformations. They are not Sadashiva. Meaning in quality, they are ultimately coming from that original, but they are transformed completely. So that's where you have the Shiva Tattva. They are not Vishnu Tattva, or they are not... it's like
Shiva Tattva, as you're mentioning, the Shiva and Shambhu are on the material realm, yeah. And Sadashiva is on the spiritual realm. So when we are referring to the 11 Rudras, of whom, like the Bhagavad Gita says, Shiva, mm-hmm. is prominent or predominant, like that, something like that.
Yeah.
So, so in that case, it's the material one, right? I mean, who has perhaps a tinge of the material.
Yeah. So among the 11 Rudras, the names, you'll find one name as Shiva as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I just remembered that Bhagavad Gita sloka. So I was just wanting to know. So Shiva is he's the topmost there or something like
yes.
that. Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much, Preeti. I had a few other questions, but I am a little confused as of now. So, you know, maybe I will touch base with you or chat or something.
Sure.
Thank you so much for the beautiful class, Preeti.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam Mataji, very, very beautiful class. As everybody said, it is so easy to understand because you came with so many charts and you are going back and forth with the charts. So it explains where you are exactly, what you are explaining. It's so nice, Mataji. I really like the class. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Vinita Mataji, for all the services and help. Hare Krishna.
So I request devotees, if anybody, other devotees have questions or realizations to Mataji. If nobody have any questions or realizations, we can end the call here.
You just said this one, Mataji, but I'm just repeating that the glance of Vishnu is the halo of that glance that interacts with Rama, right?
Yes.
The halo.
No. Vishnu interacts always with his consort Rama. The halo interacts with Durga, with Maya. Halo is Shambhu.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Halo is Shambhu, and Shambhu interacts with Durga. And when Shambhu interacts with Durga, uh-huh. it is at that time that the living entities enter into this universe, is it?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. They are the mother and father. They are responsible for this universe.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Mataji, I have a quick question. Can I ask Mataji? Yeah, sorry, Gail Mataji, I don't know if she wanted to ask something else. Yeah, so when you said Garbhadaksha Vishnu, he glances and the Jiva Tattva comes. Isn't it something like that you said?
Mahavishnu, he glances and then the Jiva...
Then the universes come and the Garbhadaksha Vishnu, then he, with his perspiration, he lies down. Yeah. Then he glances and the then Jivas come out.
Yeah, actually in that stalk, right, that is coming out, all the Jivas, this is how Brahma Samhita describes.
Yeah.
So from the stalk, so all the Jivas are transported, you know, and then Brahma gives them bodies.
Like. Okay, so there you said that, you know, the Jivas come. So I just wanted to know, Mataji, is it like, they say like super soul is beginningless, so is the soul is beginningless, right? That's what the 13th chapter Bhagavad Gita says. So mm-hmm. we are beginningless. So when you are saying that they are coming, does it mean like, you know, they were pausing as the after the annihilation and they are coming back again, or they are coming for the first time? I got a little confused.
Pausing and coming.
Pausing and coming, right? Because
from Mahavishnu, they are transported to Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. From Garbhodakshaya Vishnu to the stalk of the universe, and then Brahma takes charge and he gives bodies like that.
Soul to the body, but the soul is there.
From Mahavishnu's glance originally, because they are all resting in the body of Mahavishnu during the time of annihilation, right? So to give them bodies, he again puts them in again.
Like so, Mataji, that brings another question. So, and at the time of annihilation, do we go directly into Mahavishnu, or we go through Shiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and back to? So complicated.
We don't know.
Okay, Mataji. That is good. One thing less to understand, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Dhanyavad pranam.
Hare Krishna, I guess what I have another question now.
Yeah.
Okay, so when everybody, at the end of the annihilation, if everybody returns to Mahavishnu, and Mahavishnu is just part of the material world, then...
He's not yet part of the material world, and he starts of the material world, meaning he lies in Viraja, right? Viraja is not a part of the material world.
Okay, so he's eternally existing too?
Yeah, he has to stand there for service. I mean, like, just because we keep going in and we come out from him, right? So he's always there for us.
So he has to be always there.
He has to be there, yeah.
So how do we understand? Well, I guess, no, it makes sense. Because he has to always be there. Because even if our universe is annihilated, he's still got to monitor the other universes that are active.
Yeah, so it's continuously, he's breathing and
right,
breathing.
Right. Yeah, so that makes sense. Okay, yes. Perfect. Thank you.
No, that's... Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Yes, go ahead, Mataji.
Mataji, I was just thinking we can end here. Mataji also has to start work.
It's okay, I'm two timing. Yes, Mataji. Anyone else has any other questions? We can take that and then end. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Mataji. Thank you so much once again, Mataji, for such a beautiful class and so beautifully answered all the questions. We are so grateful to you and thankful to you, Mataji. So let's pay our obeisances to Mataji. Vancha Kalkata Rupyasya Kupa Sindhu Pyai Vacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Lord Chaitanya teachings, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Her grace, Preeti Vilasini Mataji ki jai. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, closing the call. Hare Bol.